Okay, so now we come to Vajrabandhu's second factor. Contemplation of the faults of conditioned existence. Yeah? So as we know, yesterday we looked at the first factor, contemplating the life of the Buddha. And I hope we're encouraged, heartened, gladdened, aroused, with Sadhanandi's help, by that factor. And so today we move on from that basis into the second factor, contemplating the faults of conditioned existence. So it's a challenge. We've had the encouragement, now we've got something a bit more difficult to do, or something difficult to do. It's a challenge, but it's also an invitation to look more deeply into life, to look at impermanence, at insubstantiality, and at the suffering that we create when we try to approach life other than through those two facts. Yeah? So what I'm going to do is just go through the five points that Vajrabandhu makes under this factor, and then say a few more things at the end. So he suggests five different ways of contemplating the faults of conditioned existence. So this is the first one. He says, one may contemplate thus. My body, consisting as it does of the five aggregates and the four great elements, possesses the ability to commit in flourishing fashion an incalculable number of evil karmic deeds. Hence it may be, on account of a desire to abandon this circumstance, that the Bodhi resolve is generated. Have you got your copy of the... All I'm doing is reading off that, so we'll go on for a long time if I keep repeating it. Okay, so if you've got your copies in front of you, you should be able to follow. Okay, I will read it again. One may contemplate thus. My body, consisting as it does of the five aggregates and the four great elements, possesses the ability to commit in flourishing fashion an incalculable number of evil karmic deeds. Hence it may be, on account of a desire to abandon this circumstance, that the Bodhi resolve is generated. So, he's talking about what we're made up of. Our bodies and associated accoutrements, like mind and, you know, feeling. But basically made up of the five skandhas, form, feeling, perception, volition, consciousness, and of the four great elements, earth, air, fire, and water. These are what we're made up of, according to the Indian tradition, the Buddhist tradition. Because it has these, because we have these, because our bodies have form, and feeling, and consciousness, and volition. Because our bodies have these things, because we have these things, we have the ability to act. I think that's his key thing that he's trying to say. We have the ability to act, either skillfully or unskillfully. So the emphasis on this fact, on this particular point, I think, is on our capacity. And that makes sense, following on from the message of yesterday. You know, yes, you can gain enlightenment. Yes, you can. Even you at the back, you know, yes, you can. So he's saying again, you know, we are capable. We are capable of acting in the world, and we do act in the world. And we have effects, for good or ill, on ourselves and on other people. Nothing here we don't already know. And we can do this, certainly with regard to evil actions, in flourishing fashion. Great phrase, in flourishing fashion. I just think that's such an image, both of relish and of proliferation, both things. We get attracted towards unskillfulness, and it grows. We give it our energy, we give it our attention, and it grows. Of course, the same can be true for skillfulness, but he's more occupied with us noticing how much unskillfulness can flourish. And just remember, again, the tradition says there are 84,000 negative mental states and only 11 positive ones. So it can flourish. You know, sort of negative mental states or unskillfulness can flourish like the, what is it, like the green bay tree. So this thing about flourishing fashion reminds me of the gap described between feeling and craving on the wheel of life. And Bhante saying that that period in our experience between feeling and our reaction to it is filled, can be filled with papancha, can be filled with mental proliferation. So on the basis of strong unconscious tendencies that we already have, on the basis of having a body, feeling arises from contact. And we use our consciousness to create perpetuating stories about that feeling, for good or for ill. So for good would mean that we bring wise, attentive noticing, perhaps remembering the first factor to what is going on, and faith can arise. For ill would mean bringing unwise, reactive, misguided attention to what is going on. This always happens to me, that kind of story circulating, perpetuating thought. And we swing on into craving, suffering and beyond. I'm familiar with this. I assume you might be too. So we run away with the plot. We lose the steadiness of mindfulness. We lose the stability and the strength, the resilience of metta. We lose our helpful reference points. We lose contact with the middle way. So my sense is in this factor, Vasubandhu is encouraging us to recognise that we have strong unconscious tendencies which fill the gaps for us in this way, remaking old stories and slanting fresh experiences towards the familiar, even if it's a familiar that we don't really want, because that's so often what happens. So he's encouraging us not to turn our vipaka into fresh karma in terms of the wheel, not turning the resultant, you could just leave it there, quality of a difficult conversation, not just leaving it there, but letting it be the kicking off point for an argument, yeah, those kinds of things, and another round of the wheel. This is so much of our practice, to prevent our vipaka becoming karma, to stop the unhelpful consequences of our previous action becoming the seed for future skewed scenarios. Because that's what we're spending our time now trying to unpick, that habit. So he's asking us to recognise our capacity to act and act on it for our own benefit.